Log Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance.
Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
Join us live every Wednesday morning from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with host Naima Latif and yours truly, Imam Kareem Hamid, presenting The Female Solution. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Nasta'inuhu, nastaghfiruhu, wa nu'minu bihi azza wa jalla. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God, Allah. All the praise is due to Almighty God. We ask Him for help. We turn to Him for forgiveness. We believe and we trust in Him. Mighty and sublime is He. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum. That is peace be unto you. The peace that only Almighty God can give. And we welcome you once more to the airways of American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, an intelligential component of the Community-Wide Shura Conference. And this is the broadcast of The Female Solution. I am half of the host. I am Kareem Hamid, and I co-host with our beloved sister Naima Latif.
the executive director and producer of The Female Solution. Praise be to Allah. We look forward to every Wednesday morning to address circumstances, situations, and we, this is solution-oriented communication, not just to state the circumstance or the problem, but the idea is to offer solutions. Praise be to Allah. As I await my co-host, Aima Latifa, I would like to share with you some important public service announcements. Don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while, God willing, inshallah.
God's peace be upon you. God's love be upon you. God's compassion be upon you. The one soul of humanity. May we let it be in thought and in action. On behalf of CWSC Intelligentsia, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected, American Muslim 360, the Speakers Bureau, the Model Community National Resource Directory, the Volunteer Human Resource Network, Scholarship, the Learning Lab, Ambassadors, National Leadership Advisory Council, Internship, Leadership Development Council, the Think Tank, Strategic Family Institute, the bookstore. May we share completely humanity in spirit and in form, from thought to action. God's peace, God's love, God's compassion. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on America Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Sister Khalida Akbar Abdulaziz, Program Manager for American Muslim 360, inviting you to join us every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. for Narrative Aspiration. Believe in yourself and you will find a creative innovation that will ease your mind. Educate yourself. What path will you take? Will you be wise in the decisions you make? Set your standards high. Don't settle for less. You have the power to be the best. You will succeed. You have what it takes. Make your intentions and step out on faith. Knowledge is power. Wisdom supreme. Success inevitable with a well-balanced routine. Exercise, eat healthy, keep your mind and body pure. You will be amazed at what you endure. Be assertive when it comes to your life, because no one else will do it just right. Unlock the door. You have the keys in yourself. You must believe. Join us again for Narrative Aspirations. When we aspire, we go higher. Each and every Wednesday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Munira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
And we are back. We are co-hosting the film. Assalamu alaikum, Naima.
Wa alaikum salam. We are here with our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and our American Muslim 360 family. And for those who have joined us on our switchboard, of course, you can, if you're on our female solution switchboard, just press 1 when you're ready to speak. And if you're on our on-air radio network switchboard, just, of course, when you call in, just make sure you put your phone on mute until you're ready to speak, and we'll certainly get your comments. And, you know, for our American Muslim 360 family, just call in 515-605-9891. And again, press 1 so our co-host, Kareem Hamid, can open your mic and get your thoughts. So, my brother, this month of February, we have said that we're going to address love relationships because that is what is at the foundation of so many things, whether it's the love relationship between your significant other, your partner, your spouse, or it is the love relationship between family members or even friends. But one of the biggest things that affect us that we'll talk about today is when someone breaks your heart. When you've had a love relationship with someone that you trusted and look forward to maybe even spending the rest of your life with, but one of you changed their minds and decided to go another way, as they say. This can be devastating. We've had a few situations that people have shared with us here on the Female Solution, so we want to talk about that and see what are the steps to mending that broken heart. So many people are in situations where they're being treated badly by someone that they thought loved them. And they don't know whether they should stick it out because they made some vows or if they should leave, yet they're still loved. And unfortunately, we as a community tend not to seek professional counseling because of this idea that we're telling our business to strangers. And so we never get help, we never get healing from hurt, and we just pass that hurt on. And there's so many, as you know, so many broken families or families that never formed because people couldn't trust someone enough to say, I'm going to commit my life to this partnership. We're so wounded, and we need to figure out how to overcome the wound. So we'll talk about that today. And, you know, we certainly invite those who are perhaps in that situation right now to call in and give us some insight on perhaps what they did to overcome it, or even if they're seeking advice on how to overcome it. We want you to feel that you can speak to friends who will be sympathetic. And we certainly will be compassionate in our response. So, you know, to kind of kick things off, I want to share a story that was given to me by a friend who was with a long time, well, they were with someone who they hoped the relationship would evolve into a marriage. And this was a couple. They met when they were both in their mid-years, in their 40s. And they, you know, worked together and had great chemistry together, even cohabitated for a number of years. But every time the woman would bring up the topic of, well, you know, at what point are we going to actually, you know, legalize this union, he would say, well, a woman broke my heart when I was 18. This is my first love of my life. And I went away to the military, and I came back. She had married someone else. And just broke my heart. And so I just can't go through that again. And so he'd been carrying the torch of that woman for decades and just simply could not bring himself to commit to another person and risk having his heart broken. So they, again, lived together for another several decades. And her family would always say, well, when are you all going to get married? And she would say, well, you know, he's not ready. And eventually he passed away. And, you know, because there was no marriage, it is the usual mess of, well, you know, you were living together, but the place where you lived was in his name. It really wasn't yours, so you have to move. And it was very disruptive to her life. And even though they had been together, even in the funeral, she was listed as a dear friend, which he felt bad about, but, I mean, the family felt like, well, that's the best we can do because, you know, you weren't his wife. And she was in a little bit of a depression about that afterwards. And now she feels just totally brokenhearted. She said, I've spent a lifetime with this man, and it never evolved past his broken heart, you know. And they had done things together, traveled together, and, you know, but there was always that thing. And some people say, well, just don't worry about it. It's just a piece of paper. But in her heart, she felt like it was an incomplete relationship and in the end was not really honored as a marriage by the family in the funeral because it wasn't. And she had to leave the house that he had bought that she stayed in, but it wasn't hers because she wasn't his wife. So just all of that. So what are your thoughts about a situation like that? If someone is with a person who, for whatever emotional reasons, cannot legalize the union, and that has a lot of legal implications, you know, especially when you get to the end of life stages, what should they do? Do they just accept, okay, well, this person emotionally, they just can't make this commitment, or, you know, and I'll just say that it is, or do you leave? Or, I mean, what would you advise? If anybody is currently in a situation like that where, for whatever reason, the partner that they are with emotionally is unable to make that legal commitment, do they just accept it as it is, or do they move on, even though there's a deep emotional tie? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, as long as we don't appreciate the seriousness of our relationships with one another, then there will be these type of situations that you're expressing. There has to be commitment to each other, you know, and that commitment should be a full commitment. You are spending something that can't be replaced. You are spending my time, and time is very valuable. We don't want to waste it. So, if someone is just willing to spend your time without a full commitment, based upon the value of who you are and your time, and the spirit that dwells within you, I would advise everyone, we have to stop playing house. This isn't a game. Our life has been structured to bring about the best results. And I remember when it became somewhat in vogue to practice what was called shacking. They're just shacked up. You know, well, a shack does not have the same value as a home.
as a home. They're just shacking up. That's an indication of a lack of full commitment to the person that you're spending your lifetime with, and they're spending theirs with you. Time is very important, and how we feel should not be played with. The strongest emotion that God has given the human being is love. It's love. And so, you know, I remember, and sometimes love can really hurt. I mean, the loss of a loved one can be traumatic. But I would advise that we do not take that trauma forward in other relationships. There's a song that has come to my mind. It was recorded by Jerry Butler, the Iceman. And it goes something like this. Boy, oh, I see you sitting out there all alone, crying your eyes out, cause a woman that you love is gone. There's gonna be a whole lot of trouble in your life. Oh, but listen to me, get up off your knees, cause only the strong survive. That's what he said. Only the strong survive. So, to me, that's a good song.
Woo!
The hurt wound.
Didn't know you had those kind of skills, brother.
Praise be to Allah. The advice.
Yes, that only the strong survive.
Yes. The advice that the a mother is giving her son is that your life isn't over. You'll gain the strength to move on. Yes, I will admit there is a period of where you were of when you truly love someone, but if you love them, now here's what comes real hard. Is that if you truly love someone and they express the desire to move to another person, or they are just dissatisfied with you and they want to satisfy themselves, then from out of love, I should be willing to let them go, to exercise the fullness of their free will. I want the best for you. I don't want you to just tolerate me and make your life miserable. I want your life to be pleasing and fulfilling for you, although this will hurt. But this is how much I love you. I want you to have exactly what you wish for yourself. And in time, I will get over the hurt, and I will find another. You know, so this is a very, very important subject matter we're discussing, is love. It's a very serious issue, and we shouldn't play with each other's hearts. If you truly love someone, one for real, and y'all both truly expressing the love for each other, why not go all the way? Why not give that person your name? Give them the rights of inheritance. Share your investments with them and they with you. You are melding two lives into one, into oneness. That is so important, but we have to stop playing with each other and stop playing with ourselves. You know, there have been some horrendous consequences of someone leaving someone than that person loved them. It have gone to the extreme of even murder-suicide. If
Ooh.
I can't have you, no one can have you. That shows the depth and the seriousness of the emotion that we describe as love. It's not to be played with. It's very precious. So I'll stop right there, my sister. There's much more that I could say, but I'm looking forward to hearing from the listening audience on their opinion about the idea of love. Someone has raised their hands already here on the 360 board.
Well, we've got a caller here as well. We'll go to your switchboard first, and then we'll go to 312-632. So hold on. So go right ahead and open the mic, and let's get thoughts from our listening and viewing audience. Go right ahead.
Okay, error code 810-399. Please state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to the Female Solution.
As-salamu alaykum to you, Imam Kareem Hamid, and to Naima Latif, and to the AM360 family. This is the Preetha Abdul Hadi calling from Flint, Michigan. And I want to compliment you first on the advice that you are giving, and secondly on your singing this morning. Alhamdulillah. And you're absolutely correct, of course, and Naima as well. One find themselves in that type of a situation, you know, then if I were in some type of situation like that, if I had to incur a situation like that, I would already see that that person actually, his heart is for someone else. So that means that he really doesn't have anything for me, because he's holding on to what is in the past of what he's already experienced, and holding on to it so that there is no thinking in their mind even to make that type of commitment to another woman. So you're holding up my time, brother. And I, unlike the brother Imam said, I would have to go on, you know. If I say, well, you don't want to do this in the legal manner, if we going, you know, like, then we can do a contract. You don't want to do that? You got to keep it moving. And we have to go to Allah and let him take that hurt of what we may be feeling from that situation and get the strength to move on. Because that person is really already committed to someone that doesn't want them. But they're bent on, if you would, holding that in their heart. So he wouldn't be able to, or she wouldn't be able to love any other person and have a viable, healthy relationship. So, yes, I would move on with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you all so kindly for giving me the opportunity to express that information.
Well, thanks so much. I got a question for you. If a person is in that kind of a love relationship and, you know, their partner still, for whatever reason, emotionally tied to someone else who's not available to them, but they're still tied, how long should someone stay in that situation before they realize it's not going to result in that person letting go of who they were with and making that commitment? How long is long enough? 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years? So this is a woman, she spent more than 3 decades. Four decades with someone in a lifetime.
5 years would be the most. That would be the absolute most. And the least would be at least 3 years. But the most would be 5 years. I wouldn't go any further with that.
No further than 5 years. I'm giving you 5 years. If your heart can't let go, then I got to let you go. Yeah, I think that's reasonable.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so kindly, Naima.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I think that's very wise advice. Have you ever been in a situation where you had to let go of someone because you realized they weren't going to be able to take that next step, and for whatever emotional reason?
In my younger years, yes. Mm-hmm. And it hurts. It hurts dearly and deeply. But you do. You got to pull up. You got to know Allah is all powerful. And if we believe in him, as we say,
We hold him. We hold on to him and ask him for the strength to make it through, and we will. I guarantee you we will. And, yes, I've experienced that before. And, like I say, 5 years is the most that when you see, first, you know, going through there, you're examining the relationship as you go on. But after that, you'll be like, oh, this is not going anywhere. You telling me you love me, but you really don't, because you're in love somewhere else. You want to appease me and keep me to stay, but your love, your heart is somewhere else. No, 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 I couldn't continue with that. I couldn't continue with that.
Wow. Well, thank you, my sister. We appreciate you so very much.
Yes, ma'am, and I appreciate you for allowing me this opportunity as well. You all have a great
thank
day.
You.
Likewise. Walaikum salam. Sister Dupreeta Hadi from Flint, Michigan. We got to take a break, brother, and when we come back, maybe you can take a call from our switchboard, and anybody else on the Female Solution switchboard that wants to speak, please press 1, and if you are calling on the on-air radio network, all you have to do is just dial in 727-731-5192. Just make sure you keep your phone on mute until you're ready to speak. And we will be right back after these brief messages, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. And if you are watching us live on the Female Solution Facebook page or YouTube channel, feel free to write in your comments, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Inshallah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Dupreeta Hadi, Director of CWSC Model Community National Resource Directory, with this important update. As a CWSC volunteer in the MCNRD directory, you are one of the most powerful tools to help community development. Our institutions are in need of your time, energy, and expertise to help fulfill the vision. Go to CWSC.us and register today. Your duty awaits your arrival, and we look forward to seeing you. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to AM 360. Join your host, Manira Habil, every Tuesday from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time as we explore relationship topics addressing what we didn't know, what we've learned, and what we need to know and why. Because on this show, it's all about courtship and marriage.
Family, community, city, state, country, and more. Everything starts with you, the individual, you. What is the character of you? Are you a book Can you be read? Join us every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for a wonderful hour of information being shared by you, with you, for you, the you in all of us. I am Martha Naila Abdullah, and I am your host for Community Developmental Stages. Again, every Friday evening from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., be there.
When you've gambled, for those of you who gamble, it's like gambling. You know, you invest some money in it, you win a little bit, you keep going because you get greedy, and then you start losing money, and then you keep gambling because you're trying to win back the money that you lost, and then you keep losing because you feel like, oh, I've invested too much, I gotta keep playing now so that I can eventually win. And that's how people end up going bankrupt, because they don't know when to stop, because the law, because they put in so much, they don't want to end in a loss, so they just keep on spending money gambling, hoping for a win that never happens. So it's the same thing with a relationship that's going nowhere that you spent time in, and you don't want to let it go because you spent so much time, and you don't want it to end in a deficit, in a loss, so you spend some more time. But then you end up like this woman that we shared her story. At the end, you basically spent all your time and lost everything. So at some point, you should have known to get out of the game, like our sister Dupreeta said. You know, 5 years, I'd say that's pretty much, I think that's reasonable. So, Kareem, we've got a caller.
Yeah,
check on our line. And if you've got another call on your switchboard, we'll go to that one after this one. Area code 312-632, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us. Give us a name for your calling. Well, all righty then.
If you want to know the heart and mind of a man, ask not about his past accomplishments, but rather ask what he aspires to do. Among other things, I aspire to meet the grandmother of Paris, Catherine Michael Jackson, Mrs. Catherine Jackson, in the presence of her granddaughter, and talk about the feasibility of my marrying her for the purpose primarily of acquiring that, I would call it prospective pandemic farm in the form of the Neverland Ranch, which, by the way, was zoned for agricultural use. And that land should be put to good agricultural use. And I see it as first iteration of pandemic farm. It's about 100 acres, I think. And it's in California. And just like they have ARC seeds, they generate all of these heirloom seeds. Well, I see that as being a great potential, the Neverland Ranch in California.
All right.
Which I believe the Jackson Estate still owns.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
10 years ago when I was 52 years old and Paris Jackson was 15, she's 25, going to 26 now, I'm pretty sure she's still single, and I think there may be a unique compatibility between myself and Paris Jackson.
Okay, well, let's take a look at that then. Let's take a look at that. Because, you know, when people are wealthy, there are a whole lot of folks that will probably pursue them because they have tremendous wealth. And often we have observed that when people are wealthy, they tend to be skeptical about marriage because they tend to be suspicious of the motives of people. And if one has had tremendous wealth, they probably have had a number of experiences where people disappointed them because they realized that people were after their money and not really sincerely into them. So that's great to have the ambition, but you should probably know that there are others that are pursuing people like her and others who have wealth. And the fact that one has wealth makes one tend to be suspicious. That's why we see a lot of times if people haven't gotten married before they got rich, sometimes they don't get married. And a lot of times the marriages don't last because there's so many conflicts involved. And you would think money solves everything. Actually, money can be the big catalyst for most problems, especially when there's not trust. And, of course, there's a famous couple that I won't mention just because I don't like talking about people's personal lives. But it's noticeable that the woman who is mega wealthy, global star, has not married this man who's been with her for decades and probably, he said, you know, if they'd gotten married, it probably wouldn't have worked. So it works for them to just be committed but not married because she's the one that's got the tremendous wealth and probably for the trust factor for her is just to keep it as it is. Just know that I'm committed. But there's not going to be a legal tie because I'm not sure what's going to happen to my wealth after I join with you legally, and I want to make sure I keep 100% control of my assets. Now, probably y'all can guess what I'm talking about. But, I mean, that's made her position public on that. So, Kareem, what are your thoughts about when a person feels that they can't trust people because maybe, and they may have fame, wealth, whatever, but they've been scammed by people who have maybe married them for their, and that brings me to another situation that was shared with me some time ago. And this was a man who had the money. Wonderful man, loving, kind man, generous man. And because he was wealthy, he could pretty much choose the kind of woman he wanted. And like many men, he chose someone who was young and beautiful. And spent all kind of money on her, kept her in the best clothes and cars and all the materials. And then he found out she was having an affair with a younger man who didn't have much money, but that's who she really liked. And she ended up leaving him for that younger man. It took a while, though, because, you know, they had to go through divorce and, you know, he had to pay her, you know, quite a bit of his assets. And he was so angry and bitter about that, he said he would never marry again. And one of the things that he said, one of the things that made him really sour on marriage was the fact that just because you have a legal tie with someone, you have to pay them money if you divorce. And he didn't like that. And he said for that reason, he would never marry again. He would just have relationships, but he would never again give someone that kind of access to his financial empire that he built and have them do him like that. So he was really brokenhearted and bitter, very bitter towards women. And the fact that she left him for somebody who didn't have much, but, you know, was good looking, I guess, or like whatever. She had a reason that she wanted to be with the man she wanted to be with, and he felt like he had been used and that he had to pay because he had married her. So what would you say to a person who perhaps, and I know men and women, who have money and are very cautious about getting involved in relationships because they feel like because they have money, people could have the wrong intentions and they've perhaps been burnt before. So should a person only then associate with people of like means, you know, assets that they're bringing to the table? You know, should you not consider a relationship with somebody who has less because of that? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, that is a large issue that we are confronted with, the distribution of assets. If someone already has wealth and they accumulated that wealth without you being present, they accumulated that wealth, then that portion of the wealth is there is not a demand that that person share what they accumulated on their own. Now, what is accumulated during the marriage, that becomes comes mutual assets and mutual property. There are so many scams out here now. There are so many people that are seeking to attach themselves to someone with wealth. There are women that follow NBA teams across this country. That follow the NFL. The idea is to somewhat bag one of those players. And so, you know, we have to admit that, yes, there is deception between men and women. But as I stated earlier, if the assets was accumulated prior to me meeting you, then that wealth belongs in my charge. But whatever is accumulated while I'm with you, you are contributing to the accumulation of that wealth. Trust is a very, very, very necessary ingredient in any. Why even be in a relationship, let alone marry? Why even be in a relationship absent of marriage with someone that you can't trust? Think about that.
Absolutely.
To live with someone that you definitely can't trust, that's hell. That's torture. You know, that's hell. Like our last Wednesday, we stated the idea that in the Islamic marriage, that the groom and a bride are, there is advice given to them to live as if you two are the only two people on the earth, and that civilization is dependent upon you to establish it and move it forward. That requires a great degree of trust. When you fold your life over into the life of another, it is very important that trust be there, because you expect your spouse to protect your interest, to increase whatever advantages that come to you both. We are both being rewarded for our efforts of loving one another, caring for one another, maintaining one another. That bond has to be there. But if we're just shacking up, I can just walk away anytime I don't like something, then that person have wasted a huge investment on me. They have invested their time. Now, let me say this. The five-year limitation on when you should make a decision about leaving someone or not being with someone. My advice is that when it becomes apparent to you, regardless of how much time has passed, when it becomes apparent that that person desires someone else, you should give them their freedom. Because I don't want to be with them that truly don't want to be with me. That's a
hell of a situation to be in, to know that, you know. So when it becomes apparent, free yourself. Have the courage and the fortitude. Whatever pain comes after that, after God says to us human beings, after a difficulty comes relief. Comes relief. That was just not the person for you. But the earth is populated with billions of people. Billions.
Yeah.
Why give my, why sacrifice the rest of my future and my life because of the loss of one individual? It is God that places love between those two, between males and females. So there is someone for you. Don't give up. Don't just shut down and cut off your life. As I say, life is very precious. It is very serious. So when it becomes apparent, this person doesn't really want me, give them their freedom so that they can be satisfied with the choice that they made. I want you to be happy. And if your happiness is tied to your not being with me, I want that for you. I love you that much. I want that for you. And eventually, I'll find someone else to love. You know, I received a message from someone. I was speaking with a person, and they said to me, "Yeah, you speak so glowingly of your wife. You speak so high of your wife that have passed, that some women are saying, I wouldn't marry him because he's too attached to the love of his past wife." My answer to that person is this. The heart is large. The heart, it has an expanse to include the whole of creation. The heart has the capacity to love more than one person. The heart has that. So I wouldn't shortchange my heart because someone has a fond memory of someone that they had invested their life in. Perchance, you can be the next in receipt of that precious love, that precious care. So I just say that we have to, how can I say, yeah, be honest, faith me to Allah, honesty. You know she don't really want you. Be honest with yourself. Don't try to hold on and make your life miserable and hers too. Only the strong survive. And after difficulty is the ease. I don't know how many billions of people there is on this earth, but there is, I'm quite sure, quite a few that can truly love you. But you will never meet them if you give up now and say your life is through. Jerry Butler. Yes.
Well, you know, that's some wise words. Now, you mentioned being attached to a transitioned, and I know that happens quite a bit because when you've had a happy marriage, and if it ends with someone passing, then you have good feelings about that person. If it was a good relationship and you missed them. Now, this situation with a friend of mine who probably same kind of feelings he had, you know, glowing things about his wife who had passed away. She had, you know, he loved her deeply. And a woman that he had been considering as possibly a love interest, you know, she came by to visit him, and he had this great big picture of his wife, his wife who had passed away on the wall. Great big picture of her, you know, dominated the whole wall pretty much. And she said to him, well, if we get together, you're going to have to take that down. And he said, well, why would I do that? I mean, this was our home we had together. This, you know, I loved her. She really affected my life. You know, we had children together. Why would I remove her as if she didn't exist? And so this woman, she was asking me advice as to whether or not she should end that relationship or not even pursue a relationship with a man who had a great big picture of his wife on the wall. And, you know, or if they were to get together, she said, well, should I make it a condition that we move into another house? I don't think I'm going to be in the house with another woman's presence so prominent. And, you know, his heart is obviously still attached to her. Now, of course, this is a couple, and there, so that means, you know, he had a lifetime with a woman. They raised their children together. The children come back and visit the family home, and there their mother's picture is on the wall. So she felt like she would never be welcomed as his new wife, as long as his previous wife was prominently displayed on the wall in the family home, and she just felt like she would always feel like an intruder, and she didn't feel like the children would ever welcome her as his new spouse. And, you know, I mean, they were grown children, so it's not like she's coming in to raise somebody. They've grown, they got their own family, but, I mean, their mother has passed away, so, you know, she's not ever going to be present in the physical woman who was pursuing the man who had, not pursuing, but of course there was mutual interest, but her feeling is that his wife's presence was such a dominant force in his life. She said, I can't compete with a ghost. This woman is always going to be perfect in his eyes, no matter what the problems might have been. She felt like he would never measure up because this woman had such an impact and her presence in the house. So what are your thoughts about the photograph? Do you think if he were to pursue someone else that he should remove the photograph, or should the woman that wants to marry him just accept the fact that this is a fond memory that he's going to keep displayed in his house? What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, the female is the leader of the household. And I say that with no hesitation. The female arranges the home. Arranges it into so that everyone living there derives the best benefit for a productive, healthy environment. And for me, every female, every woman has the right to have her own domain, her own environment that she arranges herself. And for real, if as men, we should not even interfere in that. We shouldn't interfere in that, giving suggestions as to what should go where and how this should be arranged. That is strictly the domain of the female. And he has to, for me, how is he taking note of how he is making his wife feel?
Mm.
Feel. He should be that closely connected with her that he has a greater concern than just the material, but he has a concern about the spiritual and emotional side of his prospective bride's life and world. His past wife, there's nothing wrong. She can, matter of fact, she will always live in his memory. But the present wife has to have and feel that she is number one.
Mm.
Number one in his life and in the environment that she arranges and prepares for the family. She should not share that. She doesn't have to share that. That is her domain. She's the queen of the home. These are the natural processes that Almighty God has put in order for us. The first social contract is between husband and wife. The first constitution is between husband and wife. The first social construct is husband, wife, and family. And everyone must know their designated roles in that. The roles are important. They are very important. You should never place someone ahead of your present wife, because you are tied to her and she's tied to you. My wife lives in my memory and my heart, but I have the capacity. My heart isn't so small that I can't love someone else. That you're really restricting yourself. As the song goes, there's a whole lot of girls out there looking for a good man like you, but you'll never meet them if you give up now and say your life is through. That goes for both genders, for both genders. So we have a caller here on AM 360 line.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna take a quick break and come back. I understand I got to fix some audio issues, so we'll do that during the break. So we'll be right back after this quick break. And you all stick and stay. We're going to come to our American Muslim 360 just after this. And we'll be right back to talk about healing from a broken heart. Can you love again? We'll be right back. So stay with us.
The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum. My name is Omar Shakir, and I'm resident imam of Masjid Bilal Ibn Rabah in San Antonio, Texas. And I would like to invite you every first Sunday from 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time to join us for our class where we're dealing with the subject matter of the basics in Islam. We are excited about this program, even if we're new Muslims or Muslims that have been in the faith for many, many years. It is a wonderful opportunity to learn and understand this beautiful way of life. We also connected with various insights from the tafsir of Imam Waliduddin Muhammad radiallahu anhu, and we all explain its practical application. We look forward to being with you on every first Sunday of the month where we would deal with the basics of Islam. The peace be on you. Assalamu alaikum.
What is American Muslim 360, you ask? It's hard-hitting.
You don't have any peace, and our people have been tricked. And if you've got money, which really is an artificial measure of wealth, wealth is more than just how much capital you have accumulated. Huh? We know that money is just a medium of exchange, man-made, and it can change and has changed. Grown men, I don't carry cash. You're an idiot.
Informative.
Federal government now spends more than $500 billion a year, or roughly 14% of the federal budget, on doing business in the private sector with contractors. In addition, contract goals are established for women-owned businesses and small disadvantaged businesses, which is another name for minority or black-owned businesses.
Your health and well-being.
I want to talk about high blood pressure one more time today. Especially in our community, high blood pressure is so prevalent. It is a thyroid killer, and usually there are no symptoms at all. And if we don't really take care of ourselves, it's bound to get out from under us in an unexpected moment.
Al-Quran.
So in that regard, it's also said in Quran that it is the best of times to pray, and it is during this time in your reading of Quran that it will be a witness for you. So if you can imagine that if we are reading Quran during this time, that it will be a witness for us.
So to answer your question, American Muslim 360 is well-rounded. It's all about the people. And it's all about the Deen. And that's why we are the number one Islamic blog talk radio station in all of America.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Patricia Nitma Muhammad of Eyes on Our Community, asking you to join me in supporting CWSC and American Muslim 360 with your tax-deductible gift. Log on today at CWSC.us. and click on the donate button or call in your pledge at 910-317-0297. Help build a national intelligentsia and let's keep American Muslim 360 strong and ready to remake the world. Thank you.
So I was telling my brothers if they ever had daughters to do certain things, their daughters that way to just have little daddy daughter dates and things and take them on little have little journeys and take them out to eat and treat them like a young lady and open their even if they're little I don't care if they're from 3 to 13 treat them like a woman open their door for them and hold the door and everything so that way they will be used to it because I said one day when they get older they will look for a husband. And they will be so used to how their dad treated them and how their dad talked to them and told them how they were supposed to be treated. So they won't expect or they won't look for anything less. They will remember, okay, when I get older and I will know how my dad treated me and I will know not to get with anything less as in if a boy doesn't respect you all the way. You will know what respect feels like because your dad was the first person to show you how a young lady should be treated.
All right. Okay. See, I see Naima's call has dropped. Inshallah, she'll call back in, and we will connect once more with her. Praise be to Allah. I believe this is her number here. No, that's not it. Hold on, please. Okay. Let's see. Naima, if you can hear me, there you are. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum, Naima. I love you for a moment.
We're trying to test some audio issues. I had a couple of audience members said that they could not hear on our Facebook and YouTube channel, so I'm trying to make sure that everybody can hear everybody. So, let us know if you can hear our co-host as well. You can, if you're watching on Facebook or YouTube. And you've got a caller, so we're back. We'll open the mic for that caller, and hopefully everybody can hear.
Okay. Error code 773-449. Welcome to the Female Solution.
Assalamu alaikum, Sister Amir Muhammad Shahid. Oh, wow, this is so wonderful, Brother Tami. Oh, my goodness. It's a subject that's well overdue. Wow, it's just so many facets to the sacredness of marriage, you know, do's and don'ts. And Allah really tells us when we're going through something in our life to take counseling, whether it's you're getting ready to get married, you're already in a marriage. It's what we don't know that we don't know. If we did, it would make a difference. And for the Muslims, we always instrument a walid because we don't know everything going into a relationship. And sometimes we need to have advice from another person that could shed some light onto things that we have no clue about. And we should always have conversations of what to expect and what not to expect, you know, in a situation. You and Sister Brother Kareem, you and Sister Naima, you can write the book. And from what I've been hearing from you all this morning, you know, and advice that you've been given. And when we come to a point where divorce, lost your take one from your side of the family and one from her side of the family and come together and see if it could be where it may not even come to a divorce. It may just be misunderstanding or getting understanding, you know. And I think that if we're having a problem in a divorce, we shouldn't bring anybody else in the situation that's not going to be a person that can give us good advice. You know, sometimes people have hidden agendas, hidden motives. But if you go to someone that you feel that you can trust, that will give you the right advice, it's a possibility you can save your marriage, really, truly. You know, so always put a law in front, whatever we're doing. And Brother Kareem, when you were saying about holding your wife in your heart, that's a beautiful thing. Because like you said, the next sister could be the recipient of that love. So I think it's a beautiful thing that you carry in your heart. May Allah bless you for that, you know. But I just wanted to say, I didn't want to talk and be long-winded, but I'm so passionate about subjects like this here because we want to preserve the sacredness of marriage. So let's always go into it in the name of Allah. And if we've done all that we can do, then we have to say it wasn't to be. And but like Brother Kareem said, you know, Allah's earth is spacious, so, you know, if that's not the person, then someone else will. But try your best to save your marriage and, you know, and brothers and sisters respect each other. And, you know, if you know that a person is married and even if they're going through some problems, don't come in there, you know, thinking that, well, maybe it's a possibility for me. No, let that person try to work that situation out to the end. And then if there's no prevail, then maybe something else could happen. But always respect a person's sacredness of their marriage. I just want to say that, and I just say thank you for bringing this subject up, and I think it should be talked about more, and especially in our Muslim community, because we have a lot of divorces in our community, and I believe that a lot of them can be saved with the right information, you know, imparted upon us. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much.
Sister, we certainly appreciate your words of wisdom. I have a question for you also. Oh, and tell me your name again, Sister.
Amir Muhammad Shahid. I'm Mark's wife, Mark Shahid's wife.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things I wanted to ask, because, you know, it comes down to that issue of how much time do you spend trying to save a marriage, and at what point do you call it quits? Like I mentioned about, you know, people who spend money hoping to win money when they gamble, and after they've spent so much, they don't want to stop until they can win because they've lost so much, and so they keep putting more money into it. And it's the same thing with a relationship. It started out great, and then it went bad, and then you think, well, let me try to save it, and you stay and invest more and more time. So what do you think about the 5-year limit that's been suggested? Is 5 years enough time?
It depends on the working mechanism that this ingredients that's in that relationship. Sometimes it's a shorter period. Sometimes it's a longer period. I always try to go to Allah and ask him for his guidance in anything that I do. And I move from that direction. I move from that. Yeah, our heart is in our relationships. But sometimes you got, there's that Kenny Rogers used to say, you got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them.
That's right.
Yeah, you know. To that point, you know. But if we put a law in front, he'll be our guiding light. You know, I'll just leave it like that, Sister Naima, you know.
So. Well, thank you so much, my sister. We appreciate your wisdom. Yes, you know, I think that's
yes,
always.
Thank you, Sister Naima.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I think sometimes people don't want to pray because they don't want God to tell them something they don't want to hear. But you do need to, I mean, marriage is a spiritual decision, and you have to go to the one who knows the soul of both of you for insight, because you don't know. Like you said, you don't see everything, and you you need to get a perspective that you don't have so you can not make an emotion based, not make a decision based on emotion, because sometimes our emotions are deceptive. We know what we want to happen, but
that's right.
We don't know what's in the heart of the other person and mm-hmm. obstacles that may be inside of them that they just simply can't overcome. And we can't mm-hmm. make it be the way we want it to be. We have to accept it as it is, even though that might be painful.
Yes, yes, yes. I agree. That's why we take everything to Allah, so find a counselor.
And you have to listen for the advice and then take the advice you get. I mean, if you're asking God to show you and God shows you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't like
mm-hmm.
what you see, but you have to accept it because it's for your benefit. And we always, prayer always gives you an answer. You got to listen to it and heed the information that you're receiving because it is for your benefit, even if it means you're shown that this is not the person that's best for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. Assalamualaikum.
We have another caller here whenever you're ready, Naima.
Go right ahead. Open the mic to the next caller.
Thank you, Sister Shahid, for your valuable insight. Praise be to Allah.
Absolutely. And then we got another caller on our switch board, 706-202. We come to you after the next caller on the AM360 board. Go right ahead. Open that mic.
Error code 706-627. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please.
Yes, sir. I said, I'm like, this is Brother Muhammad from the Ummah of Prophet Muhammad by the way of Columbus, Georgia. And as always, you know, we're on point on what we're trying to do with ourselves and our loved ones. And just like Sister Amira said, you know, my 40-something years of marriage to my wife is based upon how much freedom I give her to worship Allah and how much she gives me to worship Allah, how she supports me with that freedom to do so. And when we have an interruption of that, first we know it's Shaitan. Then we look at the reality of this human world that we live in, the cars or whatever it is. What is he using to make us have a difference in knowledge now about an issue or whatever or language you want to use? And then we don't have the community to look at the model, what to do. We don't have the resources like a marriage, an imam or a sister or a brother who's responsible for marriage counseling in the masjid, in our community, who's available to be able to deal with sisters who are having problems at home, or brothers should have a certified, when I say certified, a brother who's well-versed in worldly problems and the Quranic solution to those problems in their studies and certification, if they can get it to help let the person know who is receiving their services, know that they are qualified. First of all, they're the only time to please the law, to help them to please the law, and they're capable of doing it. As we know that Prophet Isa, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he reminded everyone who comes to us now, including ourselves, that we're going to need to be comforted after this whooping we've been going through, after this experience that we have been going through. And we're going to need to be counseled. And that he who will lead you into all truth, the counselor, the comforter, is the one that you will have to seek this from. And he has a book of guidance that will help you in any situation that you or Shaitan or anything comes up with you, against you. And you can sit down and come to common terms to how to set yourself free to continue to be a good wife, to continue to be a good husband, who both are trying to work together now to establish a worship with their procreation and bringing on the trust that they're going to be responsible for, the children and the neighbors, etc. So though we are being blessed all the time by Allah to remind us that establishing the community life of Al-Islam is number one. Until you do that, you will be speaking unknowingly or knowingly with a split tongue, a duality. That's why Allah tells us it's a duality that we're dealing with. Until we make up our mind that there's only one God, one world that we have to be responsible for establishing, one word to solve all problems, or one book, or one human example, the life of Prophet Muhammad, to help solve all. If those free-willed creations called human beings want it, I don't want you to sway them. I don't want you to give them false impressions or give them false hope or make any one of them suffer the freedom of something interfering with them worshiping Allah, establishing that worship in their own soul first, then in their loved ones, which would be your husband or your spouse, I mean, or your wife, then your children and your home. Make sure your home receives that same counseling and comfort, to where when people walk into your house, they say, this is, it feels so comfortable in here. You know, it seems like the atmosphere in here is just talking to me, that and it's saying, Allahu Akbar. So when we talk to the public in an educational setting like we're in right now, see, our children, a lot of them are listening to what we're saying, but they hear us saying two things. We're talking about people who are not Muslims having problems and how we will solve them, but we got the message so mixed up that a person can't see what a Muslim woman is supposed to be like, what a Muslim man is supposed to be like. You know, because we keep talking about people who are having difficulty because their problem is that they don't believe like we do. And one of the criteria that we have is understanding and learning and repeating the criteria of Al-Islam, and that's five pillars in our faith. If we go over that every week, have that type of classes going on in our masjid, or make it available to the community, to where they can go and see what it is for them to take on the responsibility of marriage of an Al-Islam, and what is their obligation, and how do I help each other not infringe upon each other's freedom as a human being that Allah has given to all of us, to see if you'll come together, first of all, in the community of marriage, and how to maintain it. So as it grows into a community of people, we'll be a model example for those who are going through the same battle with the shaitan and those human beings who you might have under the influence, who is giving you a hard time in your marriage by creating an environment that keeps attracting or distracting or making you pay attention to something that keeps you away from a conversation that is not worth 50 cents with your husband. What they call it, frivolous, fruitless conversation. When we got so much to talk about, Allah said you can exalt your reality talking and trying to learn about me and what I have prepared for you. Those are so many things that a husband and wife and a husband and wife and their children can talk about to help them be free from the whispers of the shaitan or the people who might be under the influence in this crisis here that we're in right now. We're doing like Ibrahim. We're learning how to walk out the fire. We're already in the fire. Allah said, I'll save each and every one of you from the brink of the fire. That means we was already in the fire. But how are we going to walk out of it? We have Ibrahim. We have the prophets and messengers of God, you know, to do that. And we have to share that with our children and have faith of us, especially once we lead the pillar of Islam, the five pillars, and we go off into the faith. What's going to put faith in your heart? You know, and how to establish that. Because when a husband and wife have problems and everything like that, it's coming from shaitan and it's coming from the environment around them. It's time to make them other than a Muslim. So we need to have people in the community. We need to have the community where when we get uptight like that, we can look around and say, I got a home to go to. Let me go to peace. Let me go to what Allah has given me, and I have been a part of building and the defending, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, so that our children and our children's children will learn the same wisdom. Yeah, it's good to be good to be and be concerned. But Allah already told him, don't dip into their affairs. Let them come to you and ask you for the truth about why being my wife is doing that. Just want to say that. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, Brother Muhammad, wa alaikum salam. And, you know, Brother Muhammad, we appreciate you're sharing your success of you and your wife, and we always want those who are doing well to be able to give insight to those who are struggling with this very basic thing of maintaining relationships. And the difficulty that people have, even though people may have guidance from their religious books, they somehow haven't been able to master that basic golden rule of treat others as you wish to be treated. And so there ends up being a lot of anger. And Sister mentioned earlier, I think it was Sister Dupreetha that said this, there are a lot of divorces, even in the spiritual community, where people, you would think, have been given clear guidance. And yet, when it comes to marriage and two people who are trying to live as a unit, there are conflicts that come about that don't seem to be able to be resolvable, even though they're both reading out of the same book. And what I have observed is that people have things inside of them that they have not addressed. And we talked about this on our earlier shows. One of our hosts talked about the ACE test, which means adverse childhood experiences, and things that have happened in our childhood that have scarred us emotionally. And we come into a marriage with unhealed wounds and scars from what happened to us, and we're constantly reacting to those memories and inflicting our reaction on our spouse. And a lot of times we don't talk about those things that hurt us. In the courtship process, we don't reveal those things that we're struggling with, and so we bring them into the marriage, and they affect the marriage. And we end up divorcing because we have not been honest with ourselves. We're thinking we have to present this picture of perfection because we are part of a religious community, and we're not honestly addressing the defects that are in us because we're still responding to those adverse childhood experiences. And things like coming from a home where parents divorced, or parents were violent toward each other, or violent towards us, or there was sexual assault or abandonment, you know, all these things that leave us unable to trust someone because we've been violated. And I think Brother Kareem said earlier, the biggest thing is trust. And when someone who you love or thought should love you violates that trust, it's hard to have a relationship where you can trust a person again, because that's your foundation is fear. And many of us come into relationships where that foundation is fear. Fear someone's going to humiliate me, disrespect me, abandon me, disappoint me, hurt me physically. And you come into a relationship with fear, and so every little thing makes you react. And I see that as a big part of why people who are people of faith still end up getting divorced, because they haven't addressed their adverse childhood experiences, and they haven't addressed the lack of trust that they had as a result of those experiences. So if something as simple as, you know, a wife or a husband saying something, and then, you know, their spouse responds with, well, you disrespected me, you know, and then there's an argument. Maybe that person didn't disrespect you, but because you've been disrespected or felt disrespected, maybe from parents that slapped you, hit you, cursed you out or whatever, everything that other person does triggers a response, a fear response that you're about to be hurt. And these are things that we experience, but we don't get help because we won't talk about it. And we won't admit that these things are affecting us. So Brother Kareem, what do you think we can do when it comes to people who are planning a relationship or in a relationship and there's perpetual conflict, and yet it seems unresolvable? Do we need more marriage counselors who can help people get to the root of their pain rather than divorce always being the solution when people may love each other but just they're hurting each other? So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I do not discourage seeking outside help. But Almighty God has given us the best prescription if there looks like that there is a breach in the marriage. And we have to follow the guidance. Follow the guidance. It's not the religion that is wrong. We have just failed to follow the guidance provided. Almighty God has given us that prescription. He says, meet with respectable, responsible members of both families. We know some of our families, we have a lot of people that are, some of them are somewhat foolish, but almost every family is a woman.
Yeah.
Somebody whose character and authority have expressed itself. So to get with a therapist doesn't have a dog in the fight. A therapist is not connected with these two. They can become impersonalized. They don't have an investment. But in marriage, it is the adjoining of blood relationships, the sacred bond of blood relationships. And when you consult with those people from both families that desire reconciliation, they have a dog in the fight. They are invested in this marriage, so they will give the best advice. Almighty God says that if there is an intent for reconciliation, then they should meet with trusted members of their family. Let's try that. Are we doing that? I don't know. But if the desire is for reconciliation, then in a lot of cases, that rift can be mended. But if the desire is still to separate, then let your partner go with good intentions, with a good heart, don't try to hold on to them. If their desire,
let them go.
Don't try to take someone's limited free will that God has given all of us. You know, so that the family is very important in what we call the nuclear family, the nucleus, the small family, you know, husband, wife, children, but there are other tributaries associated with that family. There's aunts, uncles, grandparents,
right,
great-grandparents, father-in-laws, mother-in-laws. And so we should utilize the prescription given us. Let me say this. There are three requirements or things that facilitate marriage. First, the person that you are looking at or you have a desire to marry, they must display what we call taqwa, a sacred regard for Almighty God, a respect for
religion and the religious principles associated with that. That is a very endearing attribute to have, that someone has such a reverential connection with the Creator. That is one of the things you look for. The next thing is beauty. Beauty. You want to marry someone that is pleasing to your eye, not someone that every time you look at them, you just have to tolerate how they appear to you. That's a bad state to be in. I'll share a situation in the Prophet Muhammad's life, and we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. He encouraged his daughter, Aisha, to marry Zayd. And the Prophet Muhammad had adopted Zayd as his, that he would adopt Zayd and care for him like he would one of his children. He encouraged Aisha to marry Zayd. Aisha had reservations, but following the advice and the encouragement of her father, she married Zayd, and she tolerated how he looked to her. And she went back to the Prophet Muhammad and asked him to release her from this marriage, because when I see Zayd standing in the company of other men, those other men look more attractive and alluring to me than my own husband. So the Prophet, acknowledging what she is sharing with him, he released her, told her, you are free to leave Zayd. Now, this was done to establish that it's legal to marry an adopted child in your family. That was the point being made.
Yeah.
Yes. And also for status. If someone married the woman that we all think about when we mention wealth, then her connection, it lifts the status. It lifts the position of the person that will marry her. And also, it raises the status of the of the extended family.
That's true.
So we have to follow the guidance. And Almighty God says, I do not wish, praise be to Almighty God. He says, I do not wish hardship for you. The Creator says, I do not wish hardship for you, but that you be purified. So why is there purification needed? Because we bring with us the influences of a life that may not have not been beneficial.
That is true.
So the idea of purification is meeting the standards of the faith and abandoning those standards, those things that go against the faith and the original nature of the human being, so that we be purified.
We got to take one last break.
Sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, we got to take one last break, and we got a call on the line. But and we got a couple of comments I'm going to share also from our Facebook and YouTube viewers. But, you know, I feel that what a lot of people got out of that story is that if your spouse does not look good to you, then, or your potential spouse, if you don't like how they look, don't marry them, because you're not going to really be true to them. So be true to yourself. If you're not attracted enough, just don't do it. Even if they have money, because that was the situation with the wealthy man, he married the beautiful woman. She didn't really care too much for him, but she wanted his money. And he felt used when he realized she was holding on to him, but having relations with someone else. So it's happening. So we're going to take this last break and come right back and take 706-202. You're up next. And anybody else in your switchboard, please let us know. And we'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. It supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sugar Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. CWSC, the Community-Wide Sure Conference, invites you to join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. for CARE on Air. That's the Council on American Islamic Relations. Our American Muslim 360 host is Edward Ahmed Mitchell, attorney and deputy director. Edward Ahmed Mitchell is an attorney and former journalist who serves as the deputy director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, the largest Muslim civil rights and advocacy organization in the United States. Join us every Tuesday and Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Fitra Muhammad bringing you good news. Study Our Islam Life Topic Series 2020 is back. How many times have you wondered when reading the Quran, what were the challenges and circumstances that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was facing when Allah sent the angel Gabriel with inspired revelation? Join us at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time every Sunday to learn from our scholarly speakers. If you were unable to connect because your carrier charged the fee, you may now listen online at am360.org. For a complete schedule of our speakers, email studyourislam@gmail.com or pick up the Muslim Journal. Thank you.
On the next episode of Community Buzz, we welcome back to the airwaves of American Muslim 360, the Pearls of Women veteran talk show host Nimad Shahid, as she shares her academic pursuits as a student fellow and her work in interfaith collaboration. Plus, we'll share the debut of the new CWSC Town Hall Plaza. Join us this Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Community Buzz, AM360's weekly magazine show, where we ask, have you heard? Every Friday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Don't miss it. Assalamu alaikum.
Navigate
our lives as moms, wives.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
And we are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, along with our co-host Kareem Hameed and our American Muslim 360 family. And we want to hear from you. We've got some callers on our switchboard. As we continue to talk about love and help people with that very challenging situation when someone has broken your heart and you love again. Well, let's go to our phone line and take your call. And, of course, again, if you are watching us on our Facebook or YouTube channel, feel free to write in your comments and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we've got a comment from Deborah, our third Saturday host, and she says, so are we not to expect to recover from broken trust? I think we can and should in corrective settings. We forgive ourselves when we clearly do wrong or be foolish. We want others to forgive us. Well, that's a good point, Deborah. There's the issue of forgiveness. And if someone is wrong, how do we...
It is important that I make this correction. It was not Aisha. Oh. It was the prophet's daughter, Fatima, and I needed to make that action.
Yes,
ma'am.
I remember. Absolutely. It was his daughter, Fatima, and she married him and then realized she really didn't like him. And so they ended the marriage, which was the honorable thing to do, rather than stay in something and you really wish you weren't there. Because you know what happens? If you marry someone, and I've had friends who've had, like, arranged marriages or marriages that the family encouraged them, but they really in their heart didn't want to be with the person. When you don't want to be with someone, you actually find yourself not treating them well. And they will feel your rejection. So it's better to be honest and just let it go when it's not in your heart. We got a couple of calls here. Let me take area code 706202. Introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience and give us your thought about can you love again after a broken heart. Go right ahead.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.
This is Elder Kwame. This is Elder Kwame Sunhorse. I sit here in stolen land of the Muscogee Creek in Edenton, Georgia. Excellent topic. Because the first part is to love again, and the answer to I would answer way is to say that first have to understand how to love. Number one, your creator, but then how do you love yourself? Because in the thing that you are carrying your relationship, it's first and foremost with yourself. And then seeing that other person, how do they have a relationship with themselves? And how do they love themselves? And then, you know, once upon a time, we had what was called courtship.
Mm.
And that you met the family and you were interactive with seeing where did they come from? Who were the people in their lives that helped to raise and direct them on the path that they are today? And so what you're seeing is that online dating, you know, dating clubs, you know, different ways of having. But the bottom line is that if you don't have a relationship and know how to love you, not conceited, not narcissistic, but to love you as love the planet Earth. And the part of that is that if you understand how to do that, and then you can find a person that reflects that part of how they love themselves. You're not going to be perfect because I'm not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're looking at, can we bring this together with putting all the cards on the table?
Mm-hmm.
Because a picture on the wall, all you got to do is just leave that picture up there and put yours next to it if you feel that insecure about it.
Mm.
But the part
now that's a thought.
That we have, right, that's what I understand when you were talking about it, that, you know, number one, you're going to marry someone and move into their house. That's not you all's house.
That's
y'all
true.
Take and go by together.
Right.
You're moving in someone else's state where they raised children and had, she was the queen of that house. And his children come back to that house to look at their mother up on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where they were raised in.
Right.
So if you feel that you need to add yourself to this, put your picture on the wall. That's real simple.
Now that makes sense. Just add yourself. Add yourself. You know, and I think that's good advice.
You added yourself into his life.
Right, right.
So if you are respected, then he will add you wall of his house.
Now that
if
makes sense.
Want your picture on the wall, then that tells you.
Ooh, there you go.
That picture was on the wall when you were visiting him and courting him, so that picture did not leave.
Right.
So it's that love never dies.
Right.
You just move on to another person that you attempt to share your love with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you add.
You divorce, but the first part of it is you have to first understand that how you love yourself, and then you tell a person, well, I love you, but if you don't know how to love you, who are you lying to?
That's powerful, brother. We appreciate that. We got a couple other callers I'm going to try to squeeze in, but, you know, I like that remedy. If you got a problem with a person's previous spouse on the wall, well, add your pictures, because you're really, that's what you're doing. You're adding to their life. You're not taking away what they had because they had that. So, you know, honor that. Let them honor that. I think that makes sense. Thank you so much, Baba Thomas. We appreciate you so very much for sharing your wisdom. We got about three other callers here. If you have other calls on the switchboard there, we want to make sure we get to those.
No, ma'am.
As well.
Not at this.
Okay, we're going to see if we can squeeze in these 3773450. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your comments on how can you overcome a broken heart and love again. Go right ahead.
Colony Green, Grand Rising Dawn.
Yes, Grand Rising.
Of course. First of all, it's more like what, you know, society has an interesting way of trying to get people to meet each other, but sometimes it's all right and sometimes it ain't. But I think the biggest mistake is what people expect of somebody. These young guys, you see somebody, she's cute, you just really want to talk to her for maybe one thing. You don't have a clue as to what all the different things in life that people need. So when you're young and you're just thinking about sex, that's really the reason why we have so many children that are born. They don't have any love because people just make babies and ain't got no connection to that. So my point I was making is, it's like the brother was saying, you have to start with who you are.
Absolutely.
Our biggest problem as human beings is that we think we're supposed to be serving creatures, but the way it really works is we're supposed to serve our creator who created us. Once you get in tune with your creator and have that personal conversation, find out what your gifts and talents are, that will direct your life and you will meet the people along the way that can help you do a greater good.
So I agree.
Run into somebody and break up with them. These people that do all this, oh, I feel so bad and all this. But I understand if you break up with somebody, you could be heartbroken. But that's not the end or the beginning of your life. That's why even people that have perfect relationships, is that what you want to call them? They expand themselves because one day somebody's going to die. So understand, we should focus more on how you can improve each other. when you get involved, not necessarily a relationship just to get involved and whatever, but just a friendship that will direct you and make you a better person. That's the part they miss out on.
Mm.
Always go for something bigger, but what about just meeting somebody and enjoying their company?
I agree.
People get married, then they go live together, they have nothing in common.
Oh, that's true.
They're not used to each other.
That's true.
I just said, we don't flow with the natural flow. We're trying to find love. And you can't find love. Love comes to you along your path of life.
Yes.
Do it the other way around. Otherwise, a whole bunch of people that are angry, and then they hold it over somebody else. Oh, I'm brokenhearted. And they stay brokenhearted for 2 years to make who feel bad.
Ooh,
I mean, come on, y'all.
That makes sense.
More, you have to have more of a directive on your own. And
yeah.
That's the problem. Too many people want to get in relationships and not even ready for a nightmare. And this is the last part. When you develop yourself to a higher level, you're in tune with the universe, you will meet the people that you need to meet. If you stop and look at your life and think of some of your friends you have, there was no way you were even supposed to meet them. They were chance meeting, and you've been friends for years.
Right.
Nobody has to direct it. Just let it happen, y'all.
Just let it happen. That makes sense.
And let it flow. What
yeah.
It will be for you. But who wants somebody that don't even want you?
Wow. There you go. Well, thank you so much, Brother Obadiah. We appreciate you. I think we'd be able to squeeze in one more call before we go. Area code 773-737. Got a minute for your thoughts. Go right ahead.
Hallelujah, greetings,
Global
Church.
Well,
Great
hallelujah.
Life.
Yes,
all right, hallelujah.
Because I believe just because one man makes you cry does not mean you should ever laugh again.
Amen.
And there's always something in the past that won't let it last.
Mm.
There's a passage in the Bible that says, "Lead me not into temptation." If that photograph is a source of temptation because that person is still walking around, removing.
Mm. Oh, this was a person who had passed away. He still had his deceased wife on the wall, and his
well, that,
future
that,
wife to be felt like she can't compete with a ghost.
Right, right. That's fine. If it's a deceased, it's part of that family house history. That person is still not there. But if that person is walking around as a source of temptation, you might want to pat it on the head. So remove areas of temptation.
And make
sense. You don't want to get bit.
Ooh. You're right. Well, thank you, Mama D. A lot of wisdom. Definitely, if somebody's still holding on to someone who's live, you need to let that go. And we've talked about that, you know, how do you feel about somebody, you know, with old pictures of an old flame in their phone and, you know, posting all that kind of thing because, you know, people do that. And what does that mean if you're still holding on to someone's photograph that is an ex? Maybe they're not exed out of your heart yet. So that's something to think about. Well, we want to thank all of you all for participating. And, of course, join us again tomorrow. We will be back with Shop with Zoe. As always, we appreciate you all. And, Brother Kareem, last thought before we go.
60 seconds.
Be regardful of the God and know that you are honorable and dignified. All of us are. I'll just stop right there.
All right. Well, we thank you so much. And continue to pray for
us. Praise be to Allah. This ends the segment, The Female Solution. We are grateful to all of you that tune in each Wednesday morning for the broadcast of The Female Solution. Praise be to Almighty God. We came to you this morning with the greetings of peace. We leave you this morning with the greetings of peace in the Quranic Arabic language of Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, and keep up our prayers, and let us remain forever grateful. Grateful gratitude goes a long way. The Creator have posed a question to the whole of humanity. in the 55th surah of chapter of the Quran. He says, Fabi ayyi ala irabikuma tukadiban. Which of the two favors of your Lord will you deny? We must remain grateful and thankful. And I bring you now the voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful.
Early in the morning, saying a prayer, met his fresh brewed coffee as I stumbled down the stairs. Tipped over by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls can keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off to work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
a little helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life and all the things he's given me that make my life my life. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough and he tries to understand. He say, miss, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by and the things my daddy said, and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
you gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference in any way you can. You've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
you gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for themselves. But they gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
they gotta do the best that they can. Try and make a difference any way they can. They've got to be strong,
gotta be strong,
and lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful,
gotta be thankful,
they gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given.
for the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful. For the warm rays of sunshine, stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Say they gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.